Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's been a little bit since we talked. It's been a busy few days on my end, but it's glad to be back. I'm very happy to be back in the saddle with y'all. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening that you are having a great start to your weekend. It's been a great week. And how awesome is it to say we are finally back and ready for Grizzlies basketball? An unexpected, you know, we always kind of expected this, but I don't think anybody could have anticipated five games, now six total games, in which the Grizzlies are going to be with, that the Grizzlies games have been postponed so far this year. But a span of 12 days, though this is now a day 21, 23, we officially are on a five-game winning streak that's lasted 3 weeks. But besides a bunch of fun with numbers, it's nice to have Grizzlies basketball back. We'll be playing for the first time in 12 days against the San Antonio Spurs. Two, in my opinion, critical games coming up tonight and obviously Monday as well. The Spurs have had a little bit of their season interrupted, but overall, it's just nice to have Grizzlies basketball back, and we will obviously cover, you know, all the information that's been revealed over the past few days leading up to this game. In this version of the Nitty Gritty Grind Session, we are bringing this back. We typically, do this small condensed version of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, focusing on game matchups, and we'll get into that in the second segment. In the first segment, I'll just pass along a lot of the information, kind of, you know, give my perspective on, you know, a few key points that have come, you know, out over the past few days when it comes to the Grizzlies and their return to play. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available. Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are available, that's where we were going to be. So a Nitty Gritty Grind Session, just a probably 15-20 minute, this may go a little bit longer, version of the regular Locked On Grizzlies podcast. But before we get into the Grizzlies, I want to echo many. I mentioned it on Twitter, but I do want to take an opportunity to echo what many have said in support of Rob Fisher, the personality that we all have come to adore, enjoy, just a great source of smiles that has been with the Grizzlies now, I believe, for more than a decade. He's been there for, you know, for as long as I can remember, he's been on the sideline bringing us just great perspectives, great smiles. But just getting to, the story that came out a few days ago, written wonderfully by the wonderfully talented Jeff Calkins of the Daily Memphian at 92.9 ESPN. But of course, when it comes to Rob Fisher, his struggles with depression, him just revealing, obviously the struggles that he has had, thankfully, the efforts that he's made to improve himself, but just the courage and the bravery that he showed through supporting himself, he now can share his story to support others and help others who may be, you know, going through the same thing. And as I mentioned on Twitter, depression is something that hits, you know, different people and at different levels that many of us may never know. But thankfully, Rob Fisher has emerged as a shining light, someone who is comfortable and courageous enough to talk about his own struggles. Thankfully, he certainly has done what he needed to do with his own struggles, and we certainly here at Locked On Grizzlies, myself, and I know all of Grizzlies fans wish him nothing but the best, you know, going forward. But just, you know, a thank you to him so much for his bravery and being a shining light for others who are struggling with the same thing. Hopefully, his story will certainly help others who are struggling, with the different types of depression, whatever it may be, at whatever level you may be struggling with things. Stories such as Rob Fisher's are certainly great, you know, just references to be able to read and, you know, relate to, but hopefully in a way that certainly will be encouraging, positive, and helpful for all those who may be struggling with things. So to Rob Fisher, best of luck. Thank you so much for your courage and your bravery and for being a hero. And obviously, Godspeed, you know, from myself here at Locked On Grizzlies and from everyone that supports you across Grizz Nation. So obviously, the Grizzlies are back in play tonight. And the big thing that many of us have been wondering, you know, when they got back into playing, what would be going on as far as their injury report goes? How would COVID impact the, you know, players who had been active on the roster? We know Jonas Valanciunas is the one player that was directly impacted. He was the one that was revealed to be in health and safety protocols a few different times over the past 3 weeks. But also the Grizzlies that were struggling with other injuries, particularly Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow. When the Grizzlies came back, how close would they be to potentially returning? Because now late into January, we really had hoped that at least Justice Winslow would have been back. It seemed like that from the words of Zach Kleiman and head coach Taylor Jenkins before the season, we would have Justice at least in the rotation, and hopefully by this time, Jaren in the rotation. Well, thing with the Grizzlies, and I can see both sides of it. When it comes to being a Grizzlies fan, the main thing to understand when it comes to injuries is that you're not really going to have information about who's available and who's not until the injury report comes out before the game. That's why I'd kind of mention, you know, to be on the lookout for it yesterday, because that is when the Grizzlies were going to reveal. Now, I can understand from a fan's perspective that being a bit frustrating, because you want to know what's going on with the favorite players, some of the best talents that your team has to offer, especially with the Grizzlies certain playing competitively and good right now. But of course, I can also understand on the Grizzlies side, because at the end of the day, as letting as little information be known as possible is certainly an advantage for them. So the hope is that, you know, that when the Grizzlies came back from their hiatus, that they would be able to have, you know, a deeper rotation, especially with Jaren and Justice being closer to playing from injury. Now, we've gotten information in the media sessions. Taylor Jenkins, you know, mentioned that, you know, they're still monitoring it. Nothing really has changed as far as their status update, but they're putting the work in. You know, the anticipation is that sometime in the near future, both Jaren and Justice would be back. I will say, though, I'm not necessarily worried that something has happened that's delaying their return. I just think the Grizzlies are trying to get them, they're trying to get them beyond 100%. Where without question, when they come back, they're going to be as good to go as possible. And I think one of the reasons why the Grizzlies are kind of, you know, taking their time with it is because not only does it buy them more time to make sure Jaren and Justice are good, but they want them to return in as manageable of a situation as possible. A situation unlike right now where you've had the impact of COVID, I think the Grizzlies probably would like for Jaren and Justice to return under normal circumstances. So maybe that could be, you know, into February when they do return. All in all, the point that I'm getting at is that I know many fans have, you know, started on social media kind of wondering, you know, kind of, you know, worrying a bit, you know, to the status of Justice and Jaren, and I don't blame you a bit, and I don't have any information to give to quell any fears. On my end, though, I just think that it's logical that the Grizzlies are simply taking their time to make sure that under as normal and advantageous of circumstances as possible, that's when Jaren and Justice will return, and hopefully that'll be over the next few weeks. Now, one other name that I mentioned a second ago that we had hoped would be returning tonight when the Grizzlies return to play was Jonas Valanciunas. Now, it does appear that Jonas certainly has passed protocol to be able to be available with his team on this flight here. Of course, that was revealed yesterday through his own Twitter account, but it does seem like, just like we saw with De'Anthony Melton, when he was out for a few games on health and safety protocols, Jonas will be out tonight. Now, hopefully, that just means that he's getting back into the groove of things. The Grizzlies are just playing it cautious. He'll be available on Monday night when the Grizzlies play the Spurs again. But the other big reveal yesterday was that Grayson Allen also is going to be out due to health and safety protocols. Of course, beyond those two, you've also got Killian Tilly, Jonte Porter, and now Sean McDermott, who are also unavailable as well. But the big reveal yesterday, when we were hoping maybe some positive news on Justice, Jaren, or Jonas, was that Grayson himself would be out tonight due to health and safety protocols. I'm not necessarily sure if Grayson is with the team, but it does seem like that, you know, whatever protocols happen, whatever time frame needs to occur with contact tracing, Grayson may be the one Grizzly who still is in that process and still needs to meet protocol before he's available. But at the end of the day, what that means is that the Grizzlies are going to have 10 players available tonight. They're going to have Ja, they're going to have Dylan, they're going to have Kyle. They are going to have Brandon Clark. They're going to have Xavier Tillman. They're also going to have Tyus. They're going to have John Concher. They will have Gorgui Dieng. They will have De'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson. So they will have 10 players available. And those 10 players, as we've known, several of them have played big, big roles for the Grizzlies, you know, so far this season. So while the Grizzlies may be a little bit limited in terms of their overall roster, they do have plenty of options that can create many different lineups that could really allow for the Grizzlies to continue with the trend that has emerged for them of being a very good defensive team and finding just enough offense to win. Obviously, Desmond Bane also is available tonight as well. But overall, for the Grizzlies, you know, we had hoped for a little bit better health news, had hoped that there may be An update on the status of several players, Justice and Jaren in particular, have not got that yet. But the main thing to say is that don't fret. I do believe that both those players will be back within the next few weeks. And when they are back, we will be ready to roll. And hopefully the Grizzlies can maintain their winning ways through a very, very critical part of their schedule. Four of their next five games, hopefully without interruption, are coming up against Southwest Division teams, a few of which are struggling. Hopefully the Grizzlies will be able to, find their winning ways. And that begins tonight against San Antonio. But how exactly can the Grizzlies get back to their winning ways? After 12 days off, there could be a bit of rest, could be a bit of a slow start for Memphis, but what can they do tonight to really find a way to create a few advantages to help themselves win? Coming up, I'll explore that as the Grizzlies get back on the court to face San Antonio tonight against the Spurs. Are you ready for some football? No. This time around, though, are you ready for the Super Bowl version of football? That's where we are, and it's both a good and a bad thing. We've got the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the best sports day of the year. The Super Bowl is finally here, but unfortunately, one other thing that comes with that is that competitive football, when it comes to the NCAA and pro, will be done after this for a while. However, one great thing about the Super Bowl, and it's that it's the most fun time of the year when it comes to being a sports fan, but it also is the most fun time of the year if you like to wager a little bit and add to your fun by profiting as well. And I've got one place for you to go and one place that has you covered when it comes to your Super Bowl bets. But not only the Super Bowl, basketball, NHL, baseball on the horizon, whatever sport you cheer for, whatever athlete you cheer for, if you like to have fun and make a little money on the side, the one place to go is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sideline anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports books experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up today for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. Hashtag BetOnline. You heard us talk about it all last year. Well, if part of your resolutions coming into 2021 was to get a bit healthier, have I got a solution for you, and that's Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, the small addition to your day that can go a long way in terms of benefiting your health. You can have it in the morning for breakfast. You can have it in the afternoon as a snack, before or after a workout, listening to your favorite podcast episode. However you choose to enjoy it, there are 18 different flavors at BuiltBar.com you can go and choose from to enjoy. And if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, and you put in the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. But I can tell you this with confidence. Once you make it a part of your day, it's going to be there to stay. Go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code LOCKEDON, and get 20% off your next order from Built Bar. The last time the Grizzlies faced off against the Spurs, it was the first game of the season. And Memphis got off to a very good start in the game. But then, unfortunately, our bench just unexpectedly did not have a good initial showing. And unfortunately, the Grizzlies were, they went into halftime. It looked like it was going to be a pretty close game. And then the third quarter on, it just seemed like the Grizzlies kept trying to get back into the game despite a 44-point, nine-assist effort. The Grizzlies just were not able to put – every time they got close, they just were not able to pull close enough without, a foul or giving up a big-time three. Whatever it was, they were always 5 to 7 points behind the Spurs, and the Spurs wound up winning the opening game of the season. Well, now – over a month later, 5 weeks later, as a matter of fact, the Spurs right now are 11-8, atop the Southwest Division with the New Orleans Pelicans and the Dallas Mavericks having struggled. Houston trying to, emerge from the hole it dug itself earlier this season, trying to get through the James Harden situation, though they've been playing better as of late. And then, of course, the Grizzlies' surprising level of play, but, of course, them being off now for nearly 2 weeks. So the Spurs right now are the best team in the Southwest Division. And though, at the end of the day, I do think that the Grizzlies match up well with the Spurs if they were fully healthy. That is one thing that's not the case tonight. And so I think that that is an advantage for the Spurs. But a big thing about tonight's game that I really think is going to play a pivotal role is that I asked Coach Taylor Jenkins in the first media session back on Wednesday night. I asked him, Thursday, I asked him, what is the one thing this season that has, what area of the team's play has been better than you thought it would be to this point in the season, and what part of the team's play has been a little bit behind. And the thing that he mentioned in terms of the area where the Grizzlies were doing better than he expected was their ability to limit fouls. And of course, that's what we've discussed. It has been such a huge development for this team, along with the way that they are playing defense. The Grizzlies are in the top five of the league when it comes to limiting fouls per game, and that's really has helped them out. We know in the first two games of the season against the Spurs and the Hawks, the difference in those two games was the abundant amount of free throws that the Spurs and Hawks got. And the reason why that also is key is because right now the Spurs actually lead the NBA in terms of fewest fouls per game. So one big thing that, as Taylor Jenkins mentioned, that he was very happy with was how the Grizzlies were limiting fouls, giving the other teams extra high advantage per chances to score. Well, tonight, that is going to be a huge development for the Grizzlies on defense. They are going to have to limit the fouls. It's not just because the Spurs themselves don't really, you know, you're not going to beat them by getting to the free throw line more often than not, because they foul less than any team in the NBA. Not surprising, it's team discipline that's always been a calling card positive of a Greg Popovich coach team. But the other big thing is that it is the one thing that the Grizzlies, or that the Spurs obviously have to their advantage, is the fact that they have DeMar DeRozan and others. You know, the emergence of players such as Kelvin Johnson, Derek White is coming back, DeJounte Murray is playing very well. But specifically DeMar DeRozan, limiting his ability to get to the line is going to be a big key for Memphis. Because tonight, I could easily see it being a close game. And obviously, we want for that to be the case, because if Ja Morant can emerge after a 12-day hiatus, getting healthier on his ankle, if he's had all the rest that he's had, and we saw what he did against the Spurs in the fourth quarter during the first game, of the season. You know, arguably his best career game, one of the most historic games a 21-year-old has ever had in the NBA. If we can keep the score close, I think what it comes down to is how well Ja Morant plays versus how much the Grizzlies foul and allow for the Spurs to get to the free throw line, or they don't contest the threes. So a big key tonight for Memphis is really going to be the ability to keep the Spurs off the free throw line. Now, with that being said, another big key is going to be who is able to shoot the best from within the two-point arc, from two. Now, what I mean by that is that the Spurs and the Grizzlies both take the most two-point shots in the NBA this year so far. However, both teams are actually in the bottom third of the league in terms of their field goal percentage on two-point shots. So it's not only do the Grizzlies have to limit the Spurs when it comes to their ability to shoot free throws, but they're also going to have to really monitor the mid-range efficiency, the mid-range, you know, experience of DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge, and others. The Grizzlies and Spurs take more two-point shots than anybody in the league. If that's the case, tonight, the big thing for the Grizzlies is going to be limiting the high percentage shots of the Spurs and getting into the paint and dominating. That's on defense, it's going to be limiting the looks of the Spurs and the free throw attempts. On offense, it's going to be getting into the lane and finding their own high percentage shots. Now, that's going to be a bit harder without Jonas Valanciunas, but hopefully with Ja back, that should make up for the absence of Valanciunas a bit. But that's the other thing, though, that Coach Jenkins had mentioned. It kind of ties into the area where Coach Jenkins had mentioned he was wanting to see a little bit more improvement from us on. One of the reasons why the Spurs take the most frequent amount of two-point shots in the league is because they lead the league in field goal attempts per game as well. The Grizzlies have not been playing as fast of a pace, obviously because they've been without Ja, and they've also been with a couple of other athletic players in Injustice and Jaren. But with how frequent the Spurs get their two-point shots off, one thing that the Grizzlies are really going to need to do, and they're going to need to do this through leading to turnovers, they're going to need to do this through limiting fouls, they're going to need to do this through rebounding, is getting out in the open court and keeping pace with the Spurs when it comes to field goal attempts. The Grizzlies right now are not as good on pace, but when they've won, they have had more field goal attempts than their opponents. So the big thing tonight for the Grizzlies on defense, contesting the Spurs' two-point shots, limiting the Spurs' trips to the foul lines, and really staying disciplined. On offense, it's getting looks in the paint, it's getting to the free throw lines themselves, and it's taking care of the basketball. The one other thing that the Spurs are very, very good at is that they don't turn the ball over. And we know how, you're right now, tonight, you're going to face arguably the most disciplined defense, the most disciplined offensive team in the league, the team that makes the fewest mistakes in the league, in the NBA, versus the team who creates more turnovers against opposing backcourts in the league, in the Grizzlies. A very fun matchup in terms of a defensive mindset versus an offensive mindset. So any type of advantage the Grizzlies could have from that, if it does not come from them creating turnovers, it's from contesting shots and getting rebounds. So the Grizzlies are going to have to stay disciplined. They're going to have to limit their mistakes in terms of committing their own turnovers and taking themselves out of play on defense. But I think at the end of the day, the three things that it's going to come down to is which team fouls less, which team contests two-point shots more, and at the end of the day, can the Grizzlies limit the Spurs' ability to hit open threes versus Ja Morant being able to really emerge as a fourth-quarter closer in this game? I think that the Grizzlies are going to be at a bit of a disadvantage because of how long they've been without playing and also with some of the players that they're going to be without. I think that they're going to get off to a bit of a slow start. But to their advantage, the Spurs are on the second half of a back-to-back. So perhaps, you know, fatigue will play into the Spurs, you know, impacting the Spurs game and play to the Grizzlies' advantage. But those three things: limiting the free throws of the Spurs, contesting shots, but not only from the two, but also from the three, and at the end of the day, staying close enough to where Ja can really take over in the fourth quarter. If the Grizzlies can find success in those three areas, I really think that they could emerge as having a chance to win a huge divisional game. However, if the Grizzlies struggle with turnovers, if they get off to a slow start, and they're not able to keep the Spurs either from the foul line or from continuing to hit mid-range shot after mid-range shot and throwing in a couple of critical threes, I think it's going to be hard for the Grizzlies to win. So hopefully they'll find success remaining disciplined, remaining opportunistic on defense, but focused on really limiting mistakes and getting out on the run. I think that will be to the Grizzlies' advantage. Obviously, it's going to be great to have Grizzlies basketball back. We're going to be right back here with you after the game for tomorrow, discussing this game, discussing what the Grizzlies can look forward to building off this game and going into Monday night's second game against the Spurs. Again, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast wherever it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this latest edition of the Nitty Gritty Grind Session on Locked On Grizzlies. Until then, enjoy the game tonight. Go Grizzlies, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.